Rockland, USA.
Welcome, rock stars. From Rockband USA Studios in Washington, this is Rock on the Money. Time to talk about saving, investing, and protecting those hard-earned monies. We're here to give you ideas, answer your questions, keep you updated on your path to multi-millions without any fees or commissions. It's kind of what we do here. I'm Craig Lukey with Amanda Braun, your host. Thank you for joining us. Phone lines are open at 989-888-ROCK. That's 989-888-7625. You can leave a voicemail or text us with your questions or comments, and we'll play those on the show. And if you're too shy for all of that, you can always email us to podcast@rocklandusa.com. Hello, Amanda.
Hello.
People are loving the podcast. I just wanted you to know that.
Well, that's good news.
I think they're falling in love with you. Who doesn't like
I'm very charming.
Blonde? Who doesn't like a brainiac blonde? You're making me feel stupid here.
Well, that's not good.
Hey, question of the day. Okay. Left to us at 989-888-ROCK. And remember, if you leave a voicemail at 989-888-ROCK with your financial question, or if you have a comment about anything we said, if we said something wrong, let us know. If we play it on the show, you're eligible to win a $100 gift card from Amazon, or we're still in debate about Walmart, but either one. $100 gift card once a month. You're in the drawing for a gift card for the month of November is what we're up to. And so our voicemail here.
Brian, Fredericksburg, Virginia. My question is wondering what the recommendation is in your guys' opinion for having how much cash on hand readily available for emergency type situations. I know I've heard some people say 3 months of all minimum bills, whatever that amount is for you, you should have available in a liquid asset. I.e. savings account, checking account, something that's very liquid. What is your thoughts on how much that should be? My kind of thing is I like to cancel out all the niceties in that monthly thing. And then 3 months is kind of what I heard. So obviously all your Netflix and cable and stuff like that are not included in it. So if some crazy emergency happened, cancel all that stuff and you have enough cash to survive yourself for 3 months. So thanks a lot.
So I think it's very situational. So where you're at in your life is going to dictate a lot what you need to have set aside. I know when I was really struggling, it was hard to have any type of emergency fund. So my goal at that point was just to get $500 in a savings account. Now, when your income level goes up, generally your spending levels go up. So $500 isn't going to cut it at that point, you know? So now that I'm in a more comfortable place in my life, I like to have 6 months set aside. We can do less than that because my husband's in the Army and, you know, he's not subject to layoffs like those of us in the private sector could be, could lose our jobs at any time. So there's some stability there. So again, it's very situational and it's going to depend on what your monthly budget is as well. If you're spending more than you're making every month, then you've got a number of other problems besides your emergency fund.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you were to lose your job today, and that's how I've always looked at it, if I lost my job, how many weeks, how many days, how many months could I survive with before getting another job? Because I'll tell you, I lost my job in 2008, right at the brink of, you know, the economic downturn. Mm. And it took 3 or 4 months to find a new job. And things were really tough then. So, you know, learn that lesson once, that emergency fund stays funded the rest of your life. So think about what you would need on bare bones budget to get by if you weren't able to find work for a couple months.
I couldn't even imagine what it would be like to lose a job. I mean, individuals,
and then if you're
like
a dual income family and you both lose your job. So, yeah, you need to plan for the worst case scenario and hopefully, you know, knock on wood, it never happens. And then you've got a nice little nest egg, but survival, it doesn't take much to put people down and out. So the emergency fund is important.
And like you said, you get as much as you can. If you can only do $500, you know, you hear these radio shows, they say you should have $1,000. Well, you know, $1,000 to some people is very difficult to come up with.
Right.
It's not, they make it sound very easy, but in reality, you know, if you can come up with $500, you need to have something.
You really yeah. need to come up. Now,
and you know what? If you can't come up with that in a week, then what can you do? So can you start putting $20 aside every week? Then, you know, you'll be at 500 sooner than if you hadn't started putting 20 away.
Absolutely. Make it a goal to put it in an envelope. Just
and
don't make it accessible.
Pay yourself first.
Gotta pay yourself first. Now, ideally, if you can afford it, you have the income, you can work some extra jobs, get overtime, flip some items on eBay, come up with $1,000 personally just to get started. $1,000 plus, people are going to freak out about this. I say $1,000 plus your deductibles. Now, what are those deductibles? Auto insurance, usually it's $500 for that. And your homeowners, if you want to bring that down, you raise your deductible. Usually that's $500. So it could be $1,500 or $2,000 just to get you started. If you have debt, obviously we need to concentrate on that. But before you can work on that, you got to have a fallback. The 3 months that he was talking about, that's further down line. We need to get rid of your debt first, in my opinion. You need to start working on that.
Yeah, I'd rather have the safety net of 3 months before I knocked out debt. Just because life's so unpredictable and, you know, you're not going to be able to knock out debt if you're down and out. You're going to have, you know, things going into collection while you're also just trying to feed your family. So I'd rather just stay steady and strong on the debt recovery until I had 3 months in the bank.
Here in the D.C. area, and, you know, a lot of people rag on Washington, D.C. and the federal government. I'll tell you what, when they shut down that federal government here.
Yep.
You know, the federal workers. Yeah. You know what? They get their back pay. You know, that happens every time. But you know what? Many more contractors, they don't get the back pay.
They don't get the back pay. Plus, a lot of people are living paycheck to paycheck. So.
Absolutely. And that's all for various reasons that we'll get into on another show. But.
But again, I think it's situational and it's where your comfort zone or your comfort level is.
Now, where would you put this money to make it readily available for an emergency?
So if it's an emergency fund, I do two things. So I put a small amount, like $500 or less, in something that's super accessible, like my bank on the corner that I could get to go to an ATM and pull it out quickly. Mm-hmm. For a real emergency, like a larger emergency fund, something. So if something happened, normally you don't need more than $500 that day. So the rest of my emergency money, I stick in an online bank that has much higher interest rate returns. So I personally use Marcus Online, but there are good ones like Ally.com that don't have brick and mortar locations, and their rate of return on savings accounts are unheard of. It's right now it's hovering around 2%, which, you know, a normal bank is minuscule compared to that.
Bank rate and consumer reports rate, Ally is number one. I've been considering using Ally, switching from my brick and mortar bank that I have here, which I'm getting tired of their fees and changing.
Yeah, what's Ally at right now? What's their rate at?
I don't know. I could go to bank rate real quick.
Oh, they're at 1.8. So yeah, so I use Marcus because they've consistently been higher than Ally.
Gotcha. Sounds awesome.
Marcus is a Goldman Sachs division.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. And bankrate.com is a great website that you can search all that stuff, see what the current rates are, a bunch of credit cards and deals and whatever the returns rate on CDs or savings. And
No, I don't like CDs for emergency money.
No. I don't mean to confuse anybody on that whatsoever. Our big topic for today, gift cards for the holiday season. A couple stats real quick. 59% of Americans are wishing for gift cards this holiday season. This is according to the National Retail Foundation.
I don't get that.
I read that. I'm like, are you kidding me? 59.
Why not just wish for a bag of gold then?
You're forced into a store.
You're forced into a store. And, you know...
This
is really taking the joy out of the holidays. Why, we're just now exchanging envelopes of cash.
Yeah.
Buy me a gift. That means that you've spent some time thinking about me and what I might enjoy, and shows me how well you know me and how you appreciate me.
59% of Americans want the gift cards, followed by 52% want clothes. I mean, come on, man.
That's also terrible. Like, okay, please don't buy me clothes. You're never going to buy me the right clothes.
I have a rule for Christmas. Mm-hmm. I don't give clothes for Christmas.
I think that's a good rule.
I just, no.
Unless you're a mom and you want to really ruin your kids' Christmas, then buy them some underwear. But
see, I know my mom won't listen to the podcast, so I can say all this. She doesn't even know what a podcast is, so I'm good. but Christmas is, to me, is supposed to be fun. If anybody's going to be giving me clothes this year, don't get upset with me. Now, if I get a Nationals jersey,
I know what to get Craig for Christmas.
No, if I get a Nationals jersey with a World Series thing on, I'm okay with that. That's different.
I don't think that's clothes, though.
No, that
doesn't really count. As like, when I think clothing, I think, well, what does someone wear day to day?
Exactly. I mean, I've gotten hockey sweaters before. A jersey,
that's more like a novelty item.
Right, right. That's different. Like, I've got hockey jerseys before, stuff like that with the Stanley Cup. That's different. It's sweaters and underwear and socks. Please save your time.
You know, I saw an interesting article the other day. You know, a lot of kids nowadays, people love to buy kids toys for Christmas. And these kids have so many mountains of unused toys.
I know.
It's so much better to buy them like an experience, like a membership to the Children's Museum for a year or something like that. So there's lots of options out there besides gift cards.
So the top three items is gift cards, clothing, and 35% electronics. That's really low.
I could see that.
Well, there isn't really anything new this year. There's no gaming consoles that are new. The phones, I mean, there's a couple of new phones, but that's it. There's really nothing new.
Not all of us have a whole closet full of electronics like you and buy the latest and greatest. Some of us have to wait until Christmas to get that one new thing we want.
Yes. Women, that's funny. Women are significantly more likely than men to wish for gift cards at 67% versus 50%. Why do women want gift cards?
I'll tell you why.
Tell me. That's why you're on the show. I need the women's. Know,
what? Yeah, it's because we're trying not to be disappointed at Christmas. And usually a gift is just going to go wrong. It's going to be the wrong thing. And now we have to go and return it at the store.
So. You mean men buying the wrong thing is like,
just give me the money. Good effort. Now I have to return something.
So here's
Thanks for giving me an errand.
Yes. Here's why you should avoid gift cards this holiday season. Okay, everybody, this is part of the protect portion of the show. There is no protection whatsoever against people emptying your gift cards before you go use them. A number of people received gift cards last year. They went to go try and use them, then discovered there was no value on them. There's so many ways for crooks and the bad guys to be able to go in there. Once you purchase a card and activate it at the register, they can empty out those cards. The money's gone. And you can't go back to a retailer and say, hey, this card didn't work. They're like, tough. There's nothing you can do. There is no protection. It's almost like most of the debit cards out there. There's no protection whatsoever. So that's the worst case scenario.
And, you know, Craig, some of these more generic cards like the American Express cards actually have fees on them as well.
And an expiration date.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Yeah, every time you refill them or use them. Yeah, that's a good point.
There's no expiration date on the, the $5 that are coming in a Christmas card from grandma. So,
yeah, exactly. Here's the reason why retailers love gift cards. How many times you go into a store, like a grocery store, or and you see that huge rack of cards?
Yeah.
And they even have at the checkout counter at the grocery store. They're everywhere. Why? Here's why they love for you to buy these things. Because people don't use them. Mm-hmm. And if you don't
use them, if you do use them, you're going to go into a store and you're going to spend more than the gift card amount. So it's win-win.
Billions and billions of dollars of gift card value is never used. And that money that you spent is basically like taking money and burning it and throwing it out. I mean, it's called breakage. That's the term that they use in the Retail Federation. So instead, just go buy a real nice greeting card and put what in there?
Cash.
Remember cash.
Unless you're mailing it. Don't mail cash.
Oh, yeah. Don't mail cash. But remember good old cash. It's not going to get wasted. And they can go use it anywhere they want.
They're going to have a hard time using it on Amazon.com. But yes, they'll use it.
Yes. That's why you need to go to Walmart. And by as disclosure, I have Walmart stock. But at least, you know, you can use it on whatever you want. Or they could be saving up for something and they're putting it into that fund, that envelope or whatever. Maybe they're building up their emergency fund or they're saving money for a trip or college. Who knows?
Right.
Only an individual has certain needs or what they want. And a gift card probably isn't going to fulfill that need whatsoever. Because like you said, you're forcing them to go to a store.
Cash is king.
Cash is king.
So what do you want for Christmas, Craig?
World peace.
Do you want gift cards?
No, I don't want to. You know what? If I need something, I always buy it myself. You know?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I'm really never stuck on that stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. I have a hard time thinking of what I might want for Christmas either. I'm more of a giver than I find more enjoyment in giving gifts than receiving.
All right. And our question today comes from, I don't know if I can say this correct, Nurton? From San Antonio, Texas. If I'm butchering your name, I greatly apologize. Hi, Craig. Friends are advising me to get a financial advisor, but I want your opinion first. September 11, I lost my job and lost money on my 401k rollover money to my bank brokerage in mutual fund conservative called Franklin and Templeton. I'm sure he made good money with me. They charged her $3,000 to roll her money over.
Oh, my gosh.
Ouch.
Highway robbery.
She says, I'm really a come to investment with time to try educate myself and transfer money to my company 401k. What I want to do is put my money into my existing 401k. That way it's all in one place. My question is, do I still do the same my Franklin Templeton account? What's the best way to maximize my money? Okay. So I guess in essence, she wants to, man, she really got ripped off, I think, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Anyone that's charging you a fee to roll money over, that's, if you had rolled that money in over at Vanguard or Schwab or Fidelity, those are my three favorite low cost providers. They wouldn't have charged you anything.
Right. Yeah. I've never actually heard of someone charging a fee for a rollover.
Yeah. And those three companies I just mentioned, Vanguard, Fidelity and Schwab, they're battling each other's. They're basically not charging anything for a lot of things that they do now. The way they make their money is by having your money in their accounts.
Yeah. I mean, I just got a notice from my IRA provider that all stock trades from here until next April are at zero fee. Normally there's a transaction fee, none.
Right.
So they're really trying to do that. All right. So this person is kind of, they are where they are right now. So we can't really go back in time and have them roll over to one of these good ones. So we got to work with this Franklin Templeton.
Right.
So what do we do, Craig?
Well, I hate using company names here, but personally, I like the idea that you are thinking about bringing your money and getting everything all in one place. I do like that idea. Whenever you leave an employer, someone else, and you go to another employer, it is recommended bring your money with you.
Yeah.
Because you don't know what that employer is going to, if they're going to go out of business. Even a company like General Electric, a lot of people are getting buyout offers right now of their pension. And a common question. So you don't know what's going to happen to your employer. You should always bring your money with you or transfer it over, roll it over to one of the low cost providers of Vanguard, Fidelity, Schwab. Those are my favorites. No, I don't own stock in them and they're not a sponsor. They are the top three low cost providers. And you call Vanguard, they will be happy to bring that money over to you, over to their company. And that way you can just get in a simple Vanguard S&P 500 index fund and be on your way. It's just real simple. Keeping it at, I'm not saying anything bad about Franklin Templeton. I just know they're just not listed as one of the low cost providers. And if anybody's charging you $3,000 to do a rollover, that would be the number one reason why to get away from all those other guys. Personally, if I were you, you do what you want to do. but I would move it to one of the three low-cost providers. What are your thoughts on that? Anything else?
No, 100% agree. I like to keep my money with me at all times.
Yep.
At least virtually. And I would, you know, whatever you lost with Franklin Templeton or whoever it might be, for those others who are listening, it might be in a similar situation. Those are sunk costs. Staying with a mistake doesn't make it any better. You got to just kind of swallow your lumps and move on.
Yeah. And some of the other information that she provided is she's currently in her current 401k at an airline. She has her money 50-50 between a Vanguard 2030 target date fund and the Vanguard Institutional 500 S&P Index Fund. That's fine. If you want to do that, I'm not a fan of target date funds. The reason why I'm not a fan of those is they typically charge a lot of fees. However, my caveat is the Vanguard target date funds have extremely low, almost free fees. They basically don't charge a lot, where other companies like T. Rowe Price or maybe Franklin Templeton, I don't have their numbers in front of me. I do know how much T. Rowe charges. They charge significantly more than the three low-cost providers. So I have no problem with a Vanguard target date fund. You will, over time, make more if you just put 100% in the institutional 500 S&P index. There's no bonds included in an index fund where there are bonds included in a target date fund. That's why those don't make as much, because bond funds typically don't make money. So
But they're safe.
Oh, they're safe. You're just not going to make money. And with people living longer, I strongly believe people in their 20s, 30s, 40s will easily hit 100 years old in the future. Yeah. Aiming for just 70, I don't want you to run out of money in the future. Right. You may need 20, 30, 40 years in retirement. I believe you should be aggressive longer than what most people say. And we can save that for another discussion. That's why I'm still working. I came out of retirement. I'm still banking money. We're curing things left and right. And I don't want to run. I'm paranoid about running out of money.
Man, I can't imagine how wrinkly we'll be if we're living into our hundreds.
Oh, no. We'll buy some of that MLM cream. Some pyramid scheme is selling cream out there. We can just buy that. We'll look young forever. That's what they said. Yep. All right. Well, that wraps up for this show. Thank you again, Amanda, for spending your very valuable time with us, sharing your knowledge.
My pleasure.
All right, rock stars. Don't forget, you can visit our website, rockonthemoney.com. We have all of our podcasts there. We have articles. We have segments. We have every podcast broken down into topics, so you can easily just find what you want to look for. It's also a great place if you want to ask us questions. You can always call us anytime, 24 hours a day, 989-888-ROCK, 989-888-7625. You can text us with your questions, or if you leave a voicemail, you are eligible to win a monthly prize of a $100 gift card to Amazon.com just in time for the holidays. So we're looking for more voicemails that we can use for November and December. So send those all in. Give us a call, 989-888-ROCK. We have so much gratitude for how many listeners we've had this quickly. It's just amazing. So please keep sharing the podcast. Tell your friends, coworkers, anybody who has a 401k, 457, 403, IRA, HSA. Please share it with everybody. We really appreciate your help. So long, everybody. America's Rockland, USA. All opinions expressed by the host and guest on the website and the show are solely their own opinions and do not reflect the opinions of any company or advertiser. You should not treat any opinion expressed by the host or guest as a specific inducement to make a particular investment or follow a particular strategy, but only as an expression of their opinion. Past performance is not indicative of future results. The host or guest of the show guarantees any specific outcome or profit. You should be aware of the real risk of loss in following any strategy or investment discussed on the website or the show. Investments or strategies mentioned on this website or on the show may not be suitable for you. This material does not take into account your particular investment objectives, financial situation, or needs, and is not intended as recommendations appropriate for you. You must make an independent decision regarding investments or strategies mentioned on the website or the show. Before acting on any information on the website or the show, you should consider whether it is suitable for your particular circumstances, and strongly consider seeking advice from your own financial or investment advisor. The information provided does not and is not intended to constitute legal advice. Instead, all information, content, and materials available on the site are for general informational purposes only. Listeners should contact their attorney to obtain advice with respect to any particular legal matter. No individual should act or refrain from acting on the basis of information shared here without first seeking legal advice from counsel in the relevant jurisdiction. Only your individual attorney can provide assurances that the information presented and your interpretation of it is applicable or appropriate to your particular situation. Use of and access to this website or any links to resources contained within the site do not create an attorney-client relationship between the reader, user, or browser and website authors or contributors and their respective employers. The views expressed at or through this website are those of the individual authors writing in their own individual capacities only. All liability with respect to actions taken or not taken on the content of the site are hereby expressly disclaimed. The content on the site provided as is, no representations are made that the content is error-free. Whew! That's it, folks!